In our first assembly, we talked about the fact that David was very happy when they said, "Let us go up to the house of the Lord." And the house of the Lord at that time certainly was that temple in Jerusalem. But before they had the temple, they had a tent, a tabernacle that they were to go to. And God had set up that, and that tabernacle could only be used a certain way for spiritual purposes, and the same way with the temple. Jesus in the New Testament would let them know that he was very disgusted with their use of the temple and how they were using it, because it had been set aside for a particular use, just like this building's been set aside for the use of the local saints here. And so we, like David, should be happy when we can get together, to assemble together. We talked about assembling and how important it is, but I want to really be quite blunt with you. Assembling is not an option. Although I should not assemble because I have to, because I should want to, assembling is essential in obeying Christ. In John 14:15, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." At least three commands or approved examples are violated when we willfully miss. In Hebrews 10, he clearly points out that we should not be missing these assemblies. In Hebrews 10, starting with verse 24, "And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works." Again, good works that God before ordained that we should walk in them, according to Ephesians 2, verse 10. So he says we should consider that. In this context, he says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. For if we sin willfully, now this is a context, after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sin, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment and fiery indignation which shall devour the adversaries. Now he goes back to show the difference. Anyone that rejected Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Now, if that's the case, how important is it to now do this law? Of how much worse punishment do you suppose will he be thought worthy who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, counted the blood of the covenant as an unholy thing, and insulted the Spirit of grace? In this context, he said, when you forsake the assembling, that's where you are. It's a command to be here, to not forsake it. In 1 Corinthians 11, I want to go back to that and use a different verse from that this time to talk about our assembling together. Why did we come together this morning? Why were we in this first assembly that we had? One of the reasons we should be here, it's a command to be here to partake of the Lord's Supper. It's not an option to partake of the Lord's Supper. It's a command as a Christian to partake of the Lord's Supper. Let's see what he says here. In 1 Corinthians 11, Paul said, he didn't receive this from another apostle. He didn't receive this just out of the blue. He says, first of all, in giving these instructions. I'm giving you some instructions. So he goes on down in verses 23 through 25. "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread." He said this came from Jesus. Kyle used it up here. It came from Jesus. This was something Jesus commanded us to do. When we willfully are not here to partake of that, we have violated God's law. We willfully violate God's law when we've set aside a time to give as we've been prospered. And that's what he said in 1 Corinthians 16, "As I have given suggestions to the churches of Galatia." No, he did not. "As I have given orders to the churches of Galatia, even so do you. Let every one of you lay by in store as God has prospered him, that there be no gatherings as I come." And he tells them when to do it, on the first day of the week. So we set aside a time. This local church set it aside and we did it in the first assembly. We needed to be there for that first assembly. That is not an option. There's no options given by God. We need to be here together to partake of the Lord's Supper. We need to be here together to give as we've been prospered. It is a command from our Lord and Savior, not from Abe Martin, not from this church. This church has nothing to do with it. We make no laws, we make no commands. The only thing we did with this was set aside a time that we thought would be convenient for most of the people here. If we had elders, they would set that time aside for that to be done. But there's some other things they did in the assembly that we missed out on if we're not here. Well, they taught and preached sermons. In 1 Corinthians 14, we see that Paul's talking about how important it is that you actually teach things that are understandable. He talked about speaking in foreign languages, and it's not of any value. It's better to speak five words with his understanding than to speak in another language. It would be of no value. Brad could get up and probably give us a lesson in Thai, but it would do me no good because I wouldn't have one idea of what he was saying. Some of you may be able to speak foreign languages. It would do no good. We need to teach sermons in the assembly that are profitable as best we possibly can, as clearly as we possibly can. Acts 20, verse 7, in that first day of the week, Paul preached to them until midnight. Now, I would argue he started much later than I did today, but he did preach to midnight. They had prayers together in 14, verse 16. He talked about them coming together. Otherwise, if you bless with the Spirit, how will he who occupies the place of the uninformed say amen? It is in a congregational meeting that this is going on. Of course, he's talking about speaking in languages. I understand that, but I'm giving you the principle here. Say amen at your giving of thanks since he does not understand what you say. Showing that they did this. They came together to do that. They sang. Speaking yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, singing, having grace in your hearts, or melody in your hearts to the Lord. We find that this is something that we do to one another, that we sing to each other. Every time we come together to sing, it's to build each other up. The words that we sing, we need to be careful with the words. We need to make sure that those words are spiritual, not made up by man. We put more emphasis sometimes on words written by man than we do God's words, and we need to be careful with that. Psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. Not because I like the melody, not because it's something that, it's because it teaches a lesson and it's consistent with God's Word. Teaching and admonishing one another, again in Colossians 3:16, he told in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. 1 Corinthians 14:15, I will sing with the Spirit and I will sing with the understanding also. Again, talking about in their assemblies. They came together to do this. They did it in the assembly. Is it something that we could do outside the assembly? This is one thing we can. Obviously, we can sing in other places. We're not limited like we are with the Lord's Supper and with our giving. How about Wednesday nights? Those don't matter, do they? Well, we chose Wednesday night here because, well, that's tradition, right? Well, other places have different ones. Some people meet on Tuesday nights. Some people Thursday nights. Some people don't meet in the middle of the week. But we chose a Wednesday night. Why did we do that? Well, we don't have elders again, but elders should want the flock to be fed. In Acts 20, verse 28, therefore take heed yourselves unto the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. To do what? To shepherd or feed the flock of God which is among you. Shepherd the church of God which he purchased with his own blood. Sorry. When we look at this and we think about it, they have a responsibility and should be trying to feed the local congregation. So there's other times we should want to come together to help each other, to learn more about God's Word for, again, spiritual reasons. Christians are to grow and work hard to make themselves approved unto God. Again, 2 Timothy 2:15, be diligent to present yourself approved unto God. Why do I come on Wednesday nights? Well, I have to. No, I don't have to. Again, I can choose not to. But I want to be here. I want to present myself approved unto God. I want to learn how to rightly divide the Word of God. I need it as much as anybody else in this room. We all need these times together. And we should hunger and thirst after righteousness. In Matthew 5:6, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. You remember when I said we need to be a light? We need to be a light to our family. We need to be a light to the community. I am certain that in this room, there's a lot of people didn't say to you this morning, hey, how about, and put your name in there, how about getting together today at 10 o'clock and let's go so-and-so place? You know why they didn't say that to you? They know you. They know you're not going to do that at 10 o'clock this morning. And if they've ever asked you before, they for sure know because you told them, no, I have some other place to be. Well, how about 11 o'clock? No, I have some other place to be. How about on Wednesday night? No, I have some other place to be. I realize the importance of hungering and thirsting after righteousness. It's a good work to assemble when we can learn from others. Again, from Ephesians 4:16, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. When each part is doing its part here, it'll cause it to happen. And one of the places that happens is in our assemblies. Why does some neglect to assemble? Well, there's lots of reasons. I'm going to give some of them. Well, they're not adequately taught. They don't understand. From Hebrews 5:12 through 14, for though by the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again. Could you defend? Can I defend my assembling? Can I show from God's Word why I need to be here? Well, I think I showed scriptures today that are straight from God's Word. Could you make those same arguments to someone else? Of course you can. They're from God's Word. But He said, you get to a point you need someone else to teach you. You've forgotten the basic principles. I've told people, of all the things that's required of us, the easiest thing to do is assemble. All you have to do is get up, get dressed, and come. But no, that must be the hardest thing because people don't seem to want to do it. They're still on milk. As He told the church at Corinth, you're still carnal. Or maybe it's just a lack of interest. You know, I just don't see the reason for it. That church there, that Waynesville group, they're just not really... You don't think you can gain something? Well, if you can't gain anything from us, come here and tell us something and help us to gain from you. In Revelation 3:16, so then because you are lukewarm, talking to the church at Laodicea, and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Lukewarmness is worthless. Try lukewarmness at work. Try lukewarmness at school. Try lukewarmness in the home. Try lukewarmness in sports. See how long you stay. But it's okay. And the Lord's church doesn't really matter, does it? Oh, wait, somebody offended me once, and I'm not going back anymore. Why, that person over there, they said something to me, and it just hurt my feelings so bad. Really? Well, I'll tell you what, I've had my feelings hurt a lot. And I'll tell you what, Linda can tell you exactly what I say. I don't care. Because I know one thing for sure. I care about the other person's soul that did it, but I don't care about me. If someone tries to say something about me, I don't care. If we all stumble in many things, if anyone does not stumble in word, he's a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. Everybody's going to do it. Our mouths get in our way. We say things. I've hurt people's feelings before. I know I have. I know I have. It happens. Our tongues get in the way. Don't quit God and Jesus Christ because Abe Martin said something stupid. In Matthew 18, as a matter of fact, if Abe Martin said something stupid, go to him. Tell him, you offended me. Give me an opportunity to repent of that. Because I don't want to be wrong. And if I won't repent, bring two or three more with you. And if I won't repent from then, bring it before the whole group here. Get me straightened out. If you care about me, straighten me out. Don't let it be a reason not to assemble. I don't like the preacher. Now, this is the only good reason in here. But I'm going to tell you something. Maybe if you keep coming, you'll like me next week. I mean, give me an opportunity. Maybe there's certain weeks you don't like me and certain weeks you do. Maybe you don't like the lesson certain weeks. But I'll tell you what, this is nothing new, is it? Paul wrote to them in 1 Corinthians 2, and this is what he had to say. And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech. Now, I came with southern excellence of speech. Or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I was with you in weakness and fear and in much trembling. And I agree with him totally. That's where I am. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom. That's why I use the Bible. Because human wisdom is worthless when it comes to spiritual things. But in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, and your faith should be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. He says, you know something? I understand. And we read from 2 Corinthians where they had turned against him. Isn't it amazing? They were saying things about him. And they were talking about him. And they were talking about how bad he was. And he said, really? I just wanted to be a father to you. I loved you. I didn't want to do that. Let's go to the greatest teacher of all. Certainly anyone would love Jesus, wouldn't they? Certainly anyone wouldn't get upset with Jesus over his teaching. Well, he teaches a very hard lesson about he's the bread of life in John 6. It's a very hard lesson. And he makes the point that he is God. That God's his Father that makes him God. And they get very upset about this. They don't like him anymore. And we find in verse 61, his disciples complained and he said, well, does this offend you? Does this truth basically offend you? Verse 66, from that time many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. If they won't follow Jesus, then what are the rest of us going to do, us humble preachers who try to get up and do the best job we can? Well, I will tell you right now, don't follow me. Only follow him. Jesus said to the 12, do you also want to go away? Peter, as usual, said, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. And he said, also, we've come to believe and know that you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. He said, there's no doubt in our minds you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Who else would you go to? But they neglected to come back and hear him speak again. Or maybe our clothes aren't good enough. Well, I'll tell you what, if it's based on clothing, we're all in trouble. Here's the truth of it is, he talks about coming into the assembly in James 2, and he talks about this man that would come in filthy clothes. Now, I know it's from the background or from the idea of how we treat someone. I understand that. But it's showing clearly. It doesn't matter. You got the best you got, come into the assembly. We're glad to have you here. Everybody's not going to have the same thought process about that. As long as it's modest apparel and decent, come into our assembly. Maybe we're not big enough. Maybe we're not big enough. Revelation 3:8, I don't know what he's talking about here, but maybe it is about this church that they had just a little strength. I don't think the church is run properly. You ever heard people say that? I just don't think that church there. And I'm thinking, really, you don't really understand what the church is about. It's not a matter of a church running properly. It's a matter of, is that local congregation doing what God said? Well, it's nothing new, though. And the church of Corinth had problems. Now, I plead with you, brethren, by the name or the authority of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same things. There be no divisions among you, but you should be perfectly joined together in the same mind and the same judgment. For it's been declared to me concerning you, my brethren, but those of Chloe's household, that there are contentions among you. Nothing new. Any local congregation is going to have its moments. There's going to be contentions. There are going to be things that happen. You've got to work through them. That's not a reason not to assemble. Assemble to clear them up. That's what he told them. He didn't tell them, well, you guys need to split up here. Just the opposite. You folks need to stick together and start doing what God said. That's what you need to do. I just don't see the need to assemble. Well, maybe this will give you a thought process in it then. Again, in verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together. I've had people argue with me and they say, well, that's not talking about that. And that's not talking about this. And forsaking means you just never go back. I'm going to ask you a question. Try that with your spouse. Run around on them one time and ask them, is that okay? How many times can you do that? And how many times does it take to forsake? Cody's shaking his head. We just miss this, don't we? Let me give you a point about this. You remember when Christ was being led to be tried and said his disciples forsook him? Just once. That was enough. They had to come back to him. We need to be here. Ephesians 4:16, edifying of itself in love. I see a real reason to come together, don't you? Oh, I have other things to do. You know, today is an important day. I'm getting prepared for July the 4th. I mean, we need to really get the hot dogs ready, and boy, this is an important holiday for everybody, and I agree. I mean, it's a wonderful holiday, and I totally agree. I'm glad to live in this country. But I want to tell you one thing. There's no holiday on this earth. There's no event. There's nothing that's greater than us being together Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these other things be added unto you. But I need to do these other things. No, don't worry about them. Those things will still be here. When you're dead and gone, and when I'm dead and gone, if time lasts, they'll still be here. They'll still be here. Don't worry about them. Our problem is we're all concerned about all these other things. Whoops, I'm on vacation. I don't think so. We've used Hebrews 10:25 several times. You think that's okay then, as long as I'm... Because I could stay on permanent vacation 52 weeks a year. I could just be retired. Oh, wait, maybe I'm semi-retired, so I could just not go at all. No, I don't think so. Let's look at what they did in Acts 20. Paul didn't need to assemble the saints. I mean, he's one of the strongest men you've ever met. He's an apostle. He's chosen perfectly, personally by Christ. Why would he need to assemble? Of all the men that don't need to assemble, I mean, he had the Holy Spirit. There was no reason to. But I'll tell you what he did here. Let's look at what these men did. I encourage you to read the whole context here. These men going ahead waited for us at Troas. But we sailed away from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread and in 5 days joined them at Troas where we stayed 7 days. Do you know why they did it? Now on the first day of the week when the disciples came together. They went there to... They were on vacation. No, they weren't. There's no vacation. There's no vacating ourselves from God. 3 John 5 shows that there were men that would visit. With Gaius. As they came through, we know that they did this. He said, "Beloved, you do faithfully whatever you do for the brethren and for strangers who've borne witness of your love before the church." When they were there with you, they assembled there. It's clear from this that these were men and women who came and He took care of them when they were there, when they came to be assembled with them. Again, I just want to make a point. This is for Pam. I'm quitting early. She got her wish. Family is very important. God has always wanted His people to come together. God recognized the strength of a multitude of people. People who are trying to follow Him. It is an amazing thing. God does not need us, but He wants us, and He loves us. He wants us to come together. He demands that we come together. He wants us every first day of the week to remember the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior. We need to be here to remember that. He wants every one of us to lay by in stores we've prospered on the first day of the week. That's it. Something else we need to do on the first day of the week. It's the only time we're authorized to do it. Again, we understand it. In every other aspect of life, there's no doubt about it. We understand this principle. So again, why do we have problems in churches? Again, thank you for being here. It means a lot to me. I appreciate so much when I see people come to our assemblies, both those that are normally here and visitors. It means a lot. Thank you for being here. It even is very special that Bill and Kim are here today. So I want to thank them for being here as well. It means even more to God. I'll tell you what. The whole intent of this is pretty simple. It's pretty simple. It's complex as can be, but it's pretty simple. It all was about one thing and one thing only. God so loved the world that He gave His own. The ability wanted to do. He gave us choice, but He also gave us salvation if we choose to have it. When we think about our lives, all He wants is our love today so that we can have His eternal love. The one thing that's going to be in eternity is love. But if we don't love Him and obey His commands, we will not be there. Again, encourage you to think about your situation. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not shall be damned. That's what Jesus said. Do you believe today? Do you believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins? Are you willing to change your life? Are you willing to confess Him as the Son of God? Are you willing to be immersed in water for the remission of your sins? Or if you have any other needs that we can possibly help you with, such as you have a need to change your life or anything else, let us know about it, either by raising your hand or coming forward. Would you please stand?